Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Could you please take your seats? And we are about to start our session. The session is now called to order, and I wish to welcome all of you to this 30th session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. Indeed, it's an opportunity to all of us to thank the Almighty God for the safe travels from our countries to Rome and to this plenary in particular. We should also thank him for the opportunity accorded to us to serve mankind by way of our participation in this session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission, a commission the results of its deliberations transcend any human boundary. We should also pray for his blessings and guidance as we discuss and deliberate on a transparent, open, and honest manner the agenda items of this session this week. May I invite Dr. Kazuaki Miyagishima, whom in the rest of the sessions I'll address him as the secretary, if you won't mind, to explain the way we are going to manage our plenary session. Mr. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The simultaneous interpretation is provided through the headphone system. The channel number 1 will be the original language, channel number 2, English, channel number 3, French, channel number 4, Spanish, channel number 5, Arabic, and finally, channel number 6, Chinese. Mr. Chairman, this point of time, according to the FAO security rules, we have to present a video that would show you how to evacuate this space in case of emergency. Thank you.
Welcome to the FAO. For your convenience, located on the ground floor, you'll find a post office, bank and bank machines, a newsstand, bookstore, library and coffee shop. Security staff are on duty in the building 24 hours a day. A specialized emergency team is on duty from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., and a fire warden is assigned to each floor of the building. The FAO security team is highly trained and prepared to help you in any emergency. Your safety is our first priority. Maps indicating the closest emergency exits are posted throughout the buildings. Telephones are located in hallways and conference rooms. Should you smell smoke, gas, or note the slightest sign of any danger, immediately call extension 33. The sooner security receives the call, the more quickly and effectively it can intervene. Better a false alarm than a belated alarm. If you're a guest with special needs, in the case of an emergency, please notify the control room at extension 53616 or 53626, where there are security staff specially assigned to assist you. In any emergency, leave the premises swiftly and calmly, using the indicated exit routes and nearest stairways. please follow any instructions from the FAO staff. For your safety, there are three types of evacuation warnings at FAO. In the case that a danger has been identified and is not an immediate emergency, an FAO security guard will invite you to leave the offices and conference rooms. When only part of a building needs to be evacuated, this warning horn will sound in the concerned areas. When an entire building, more than one building, or the entire FAO premises must be evacuated, this siren will sound on each floor of the building or buildings concerned. If you hear these alarms, please do not use the elevators. Follow the signs to the nearest exit routes and use only the stairs indicated by the fire wardens and FAO security. When safely outside, please do not move vehicles unless instructed by the Chief of Security. Our team will be on hand to give you instructions and provide any further assistance you may need. Thank you for your collaboration.
Well, that was a useful video to all of us, and I hope we appreciate. Can I now take this opportunity to welcome Mr. Jose Sumsi, Assistant Director General FAO, to make a statement on behalf of FAO. Mr. Sumsi, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Dr. Moshe, Chairperson of the Commission, Director of WHO, FOS, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of FAO, I would like to welcome you to the 30th session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. I am very happy to be here because it's my first time that I attend this Codex Commission, as I was appointed recently, 2 months ago, as the new Assistant Director General of Agriculture and Consumer Protection Department. This year in Rome, we have again over 100 members, over 50 observers, and on the whole, more than 500 delegates. Together with more than 20 committee sessions over the past year, this is an enormous effort. Our wild effort, because consumers' health is at stake and the international food trade needs to be governed by transparent rules so that safe, good, quality food reaches all of us for all well-being and the well-being of those who work in food production and trade. All of you make this possible, and the numbers are growing. Since the 29th session of the Commission last year, Belarus joined Codex, bringing the total membership to 175, that is 174 member countries and one member organization, thus covering 99% of the world total population. FAO, as a parent organization of Codex, has taken a number of steps to adapt to the recent developments in food safety and to the emerging needs of member countries. Last year, an important organization took place in the area of nutrition, food safety and quality in order to let the structure of the organization reflect the concept of farm-to-table approach to nutrition, food safety and quality, and consumer protection. This has provided new opportunities for cooperation between all units involved in the production, processing, handling, storage and distribution of food products, as well as in food safety control and standard development. This year, an independent evaluation team is reviewing the work of FAO. These results are expected soon But concerning Codex, we can be certain that dates will show that we already know. Codex is important for the world, and FAO will continue to honor this. The budget level of FAO for 2008-09 biennium will be decided later this year, with the conference in November. And it is expected that in the distribution of the budget, the importance given to Codex will be duly reflected. The work of Codex is not about big headline news. Is it about preventing big news? Codex is about managing risks before they can cause a crisis. So let us turn to the work ahead. 44 standards and related texts are before you for adoption. The Codex committees and task force have worked hard during the year. They have reached consensus on the sometimes very difficult matters. Now you will decide if what they did in their best effort is fit for final adoptions. But there is more to be considered to shape Codex over the coming years. First, ongoing reform strategic plan. After the joint evaluation in 2002, Codex has become an institution capable of reviewing its own functioning and adapting to the changing needs of its members. The Executive Committee is now fully exercising its important standards management function, and the Strategic Plan 2008-2013 that will be adopted, I hope, at this session and will help to guide Codex on that way. A lot of work has been put into this plan by the chair and by chairs of the Commission, the Executive Committee, the Coordinating Committee, the Secretariat, and the Commission itself. To all of you, I would like to extend my congratulations for this successful concerted effort. Now is the time to adopt the plan and to implement it. An important issue remaining on your agenda in the review of the Codex Committee structure and mandates of Codex Committee and Task Forces. Proposal was made by the Secretariat last year. There was extensive discussion in the FAO and WHO Coordinating Committee, and now the issue comes back to you at the Commission as it is time for decisions. Let me recall that there is hardly a week during a year without Codex meeting or a related activity. This shows that in order to work efficiently, it is necessary to adapt the structure and mandates for the subsidiary bodies of the Commission while keeping the meeting schedule within the realm of the physical possible for delegates, host governments, and the Secretary. Second question is Codex communication policy. Codex is a joint program with WHO, but beyond that, Codex has a multitude of partners within and outside the United Nations system. Good communication with all of this and the public is essential for the continued success of Codex. The Codex standards setting process has been designed to involve all interested parties in an appropriate manner. The Codex Alimentarius Commission is the international forum to discuss and decide on food standards to protect consumers' health and to ensure fair practices in the food trade. As a risk manager, Codex needs to communicate clearly and openly about the ways to manage risk so that the roles are transparent for everyone. Codex contact points continue to play a vital role in ensuring communication to the public in their countries, and the Codex Secretariat of FAO and WHO will continue efforts to support them with tools to improve their capacity to communicate with other departments and policymakers and the public. You can find some new materials, a brochure and DVD, as well as new Codex CD-ROM at this commission. Sometimes it is also good to look back to understand and to inform. For this purpose, we have set up a small exhibition on Codex history in the FAO library, which you are cordially invited to visit. Not only communication, but cooperation is important because the international food supply chain is complex and many issues can be better and promptly addressed in cooperation with organizations that have competence in specific areas. Codex cooperates intensively with other international organizations to achieve synergies and avoid duplication. Cooperation with the other two of the three sisters under WTOSPS agreement, IPPC and OIE, is continuing and intensifying. Another good example of interagency partnership is a new code of practice for the prevention and reduction of oxygen A contamination in wine, which has been developed in cooperation with OIV. The third important question is that scientific advice. As regards scientific advice, its relevance as a basis for policy and decision-making in Codex is fully recognized for all people. FAO, together with WHO, continues to strive to respond to the risks expressed by the Codex Alimentarius Commission. Both organizations have completed the consultative process requested by Codex to enhance the quality, quantity and timelines of scientific advice. FAO and WHO management of the provision of scientific advice has been enhanced through the harmonization of scientific approaches and operating procedures followed by both organizations. A framework document was developed to document principles, practices and procedures currently applied by both organizations in preparing for and conducting of expert meetings and consultations. This document further strengthens the independence, transparency and scientific underpinning of the advice provided to Codex. FAO and WHO are also looking into opportunities for enhancing the participation of experts from developing countries in expert meetings and consultations dealing with food safety and quality, including nutrition, and in the use of data from these countries in the elaboration of international scientific advice. We consider that this is a crucial element in ensuring the global relevance of the advice provided. In an attempt to meet the growing demand for the scientific advice as challenges in the fields of food safety and nutrition continue to emerge, FAO and WHO are establishing a global initiative for food-related scientific advice, GIFSA. Through this initiative, FAO and WHO aim to build awareness in member countries of the importance of the provision of scientific advice in the elaboration of risk-based standards and to seek financial and in-kind contributions from member countries in support of this work. I am confident that this initiative will meet with your interest and support. Fourth item is capacity building. FAO is also continuing its efforts to provide capacity building assistance to member countries related to COVID by reinforcing the food chain approach to food safety and consumer protection to enable of consumers to access safe food. It assists countries in enhancing their capacities to organize and manage their food control systems, harmonize their food standards and regulations with the Codex Alimentarius, participate more effectively in the work of the Codex Alimentarius Commission, integrate quality and safety and assurance systems along the chain and exchange of disseminated information on food quality and safety. A number of side events will be taking place during the session to meet with the member countries in this regard, especially in follow-up to the series of regional conferences on food safety and the second Global Forum on Food Safety Regulators. A display of FAO activities in this area will be available throughout the meeting in the atrium. The fight is enhancing developing country capacity. As one delegate from Africa puts in the recent Codex video, being there is the key, and it is true. Even though some major Codex sessions are recorded and one can listen to them, one needs to attend a Codex meeting to fully understand how two negotiations proceed and how consensus is found. The joint FAO-WHO Trust Fund for Enhanced Participation in Codex has over the last 4 years assisted hundreds of participants from developing countries and enabled their two countries to be closer involved in the Codex process. I believe, I speak on behalf of all of you, if I express our sincere gratitude to the countries which have made contribution to the Trust Fund. I invite them to continue their support in the coming years and to invite other countries to join them in this effort. It is good to notice that some countries that were once beneficiaries are now becoming contributors. The same delegate I mentioned earlier continues to say that beyond being there, one also needs to be prepared because the meetings are big and can be threatening and sometimes things move quickly. You need to have your flag and information at hand. There are many training courses that have been held over the last year, organized by FAO and WHO to allow countries to set up their national codex contact point and committee and prepare themselves for participation. In an effort to go beyond physical training courses, FAO has developed an e-learning tool that will allow independent learning and preparation for those who have not yet had the chance to attend a training course of those who would like to deepen their knowledge. The learning tool on Codex will be launched at this session and will be available from the FAO and Codex websites and also on CD-ROOM. Meeting developing countries' needs in capacity building in the field of food safety remains as an enormous task for FAO undertakes with partners in other international organizations. FAO is an active partner of the Standard and Trade Development Facility, STDF, together with WHO, OIE, WTO and the World Bank to help countries in need to develop their capacities in food safety, animal and plant health protection. This facility has been instrumental in supporting the implementation of the formulation of a number of projects dealing directly with COVID. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, you have a heavy agenda ahead of you, not only for the adoption of food standards and related texts, but also on the strategy issues I mentioned before. I wish you all success in your deliberations and wisdom in your decisions. Without your commitment, Codex could not progress. I would like to thank all of you for your efforts, which show that you, like us, believe that the work of Codex is important for the number of countries and for the world. Let me close by inviting you to make use of all the opportunities that this Commission will give you, not only in the plenary sessions, which are, of course, of utmost importance, but also in the numerous side events and regional meetings that are planned for this week. This week, the whole of FAO headquarters is at your disposal. Please make use of this opportunity to meet and to exchange views and make new friends. FAO, once more, is proud to host on its premises the Codex Alimentarius Commission as a joint venture with WHO. Again, let me wish you all the best and success for the coming week. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Sumsi. Now I wish to invite Dr. Gerald Moyn to give an opening statement on behalf of WHO. Dr. Gerald Moyn, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would first explain that our director, Dr. Jörg Schlund, was bumped from the aircraft this morning in Geneva, and I understood that he tried to explain to the clerk the importance of Codex to the global world food supply, but perhaps this is a visibility problem that Codex has because a person obviously didn't pay any attention to him. I asked if I could depart from the written text that he had prepared, and he has given me permission to do this. So at the end of this, I have a few comments. In part, it's because in March of 2008, I will retire, and after 25 years in this business, I do have a couple comments. But if you allow me to proceed with the text. Excellencies, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the WHO Assistant Director General, Susan Weber-Mostoff, I am happy to welcome you to this year's commission meeting. I am happy to initiate my speech here by reporting to you that member states of WHO have just last month in Geneva expressed their continued interest in the well-functioning Codex system. At the World Health Assembly, the new two-year budget for 2008 and 2009 was approved, enabling us to maintain our increased funding level from WHO to the running of the FAO-WHO Codex Secretariat. As a result of many recent food crises and a continuously high level of foodborne diseases in all parts of the world, and as recognized through our recent Codex review, the role of the health sector in the work of Codex is gaining greater recognition. WHO intends, as usual with FAO, to strengthen our work towards ensuring the policy-level strategic alignment of Codex activities with the WHO global public health strategies. To restore consumer confidence, which seems to have been some degree lost over recent years, a clear signal that food safety is being taken as a serious public health matter must be given. A critical first step is that food safety legislation needs to be perceived as transparent, science-based, and protective of consumers' health. In this regard, strengthening and ensuring public health considerations in the development of food regulations and standards must be seen as one of the keys to restoring consumer confidence in the safety of the food supply. Consequently, the work of the horizontal Codex committees in particular is becoming increasingly important in contributing to the development of standards aimed at improving the safety of food while contributing to facilitate a fair trade in food. At this commission meeting, you will hopefully adopt the revised standard for infant formula. This, together with the draft revision of the relevant hygienic code, will provide a set of risk-based standards that will help ensure the safety of powdered infant formula. Thereby, we will protect the health of some of the most vulnerable population groups, namely premature and underweight babies. To reach out to all involved in the preparation of infant formula, WHO, in collaboration with FAO, have also developed guidelines for the safe preparation, storage, and handling of infant formula. All this work has been based on new and innovative FAO-WHO risk assessments and has been finalized in less than 4 years. It has also been very well aligned with work between WHO, FAO, and Codex. It is a good example of the type of work FAO, WHO, and Codex should increasingly be doing in the coming years to address microbiological risk in food. The details of the powdered infant formula work and how this good result was achieved is on display in the atrium downstairs, and I would encourage delegates to contact our WHO staff present at the displays to hear further about possibilities for further distribution of these important messages to all those involved in the preparation of powdered infant formula. The increasing alignment of Codex work with public health priorities, as requested by the WHO World Health Assembly in the food safety area, is a very important signal to the world and to all sectors and stakeholders involved in food safety in all countries. Such an alignment is supported by the increased resources provided to Codex by WHO over the last three biennia. One of the most important new directions in WHO, which will also impact the safety of food, is the coming into force of the new WHO International Health Regulations. These regulations came into force just 2 weeks ago on the 15th of June and are designed to stop the international transmission of disease. The new IHR specifically includes food-related events, including foodborne disease outbreaks and food contamination events, something that was not covered before. Rapid detection and response to major food safety events will serve to reduce injury, illness, mortality, and ultimately promote consumer confidence in the safety of the food supply. Responding to the need for international alert mechanisms, also in the area of food safety, the emergency component of the International Food Safety Authorities Networks, or InfoSAD, has over the last year expanded its activities in support of IHR. InfoSAD now includes an established mechanism to collect, evaluate, and assess intelligence reports on food safety events across the planet. Thereby, it is able to disseminate urgent notifications concerning food-related health threats of international significance. To help this process, it is important that the existing 160 members of the Codex, of the InfoSAD network are joined by the remaining few countries who are not yet members. I would like to emphasize that InfoSAD, which is implemented by WHO in cooperation with FAO, also continues to disseminate regular information on emergency food safety issues. This is part of a broader effort to link all relevant food safety authorities and in the future create a network for sharing the best practices and new knowledge. The Codex Alimentarius Commission and particularly the CCFEX should be commended for the initial efforts to set up a system of emergency contact points for food-related events, which has, in effect, now resulted in the InfoSAD network. You will also be able to get more information and discuss the network activities in the atrium. I wish you all a fruitful meeting in support of the global public health and better food standards. And I would now just add my comments that through my past association with Codex, I have seen this organization grow in stature and expertise, and now I think the time has come for Codex to become much more visible to consumers in particular, as we are now facing a global crisis of confidence. This isn't necessarily due to more problems with the food supply, but rather I think it's driven by the fact that we have global media where a food safety event in one country now becomes an international event. Whatever the reason, it is very important now for Codex to become, let's say, a common household word for the consumer to understand that at the international level, member states are cooperating together to deal with food safety problems that may arise from international trade. I think we all here in this room value international trade as a key to development, and we at WHO also look at it as a key to health. I would just mention that WHO is embarked on a project to assess the global burden of disease. This includes the burdens of both chemical and microbiological agents. And with this approach, that we hope to be able to at least partially quantify the health costs and hopefully some of the trade costs of foodborne diseases. And with these priorities at hand, hopefully the Commission might consider some new strategic initiatives, for example, in the nutrition area. I would, Mr. Chairman, finally like to close by saying that it has been an honor and a pleasure for me to be associated with Codex and many of the delegates who I've known for many years. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Gerard Moy from WHO. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure as a commission, we take note of the two presentations from our parent organizations. And in particular, we note and recognize the continued interest the two organizations have on Codex, especially through the members of FAO and WHO. We continue to appreciate the scientific advice provided by these two organizations to CODEX. And indeed, we also appreciate the different capacity building activities being provided by these two organizations to the member nations of CODEX, and especially on those activities having direct bearing on the CODEX function. For example, the establishment of CODEX organization at the member nations level. On a personal note to Mr. Sumsi, we congratulate him for his new post, and we appreciate his personal commitment to CODEX. And for Dr. Gerard Moy, we really appreciate your services to CODEX throughout these times. And as you retire, we still expect we can come back to you and take the wealth of skills and experience to assist us in the CODEX process. Having said that, ladies and gentlemen, I wish to inform the Commission that Mr. Graham O. Kamot, who was the first who participated in the first session of the Code of the Commission back 1963 as part of the UK delegation, and then was appointed as officer in charge of the joint FAO-WGO Food Standards Programme, and served as the joint secretary of the Commission from its second session in 1964 until its 15th session in 1983, passed away on the 21st of June 2007. I wish to ask the Commission to observe 1 minute silence in honor of Mr. Graham Kamot. Please. Thank you very much. Another announcement. The delegates to this session are all cordially invited to a cocktail party today that will start at 17:45 on the 8th floor, Building B. So that is a good announcement. Before we go into the agenda items of this session, I wish to draw it to the Commission that the European Community is participating in this meeting in accordance with paragraph 9 of Article 2 of the FAO Constitution and Rule 2 of the Rules of Procedure of the Codex Alimentarius Commission.
I have been asked to inform you that the declaration made by the European Community and its member states is contained in document LIM 2. And I wish to draw the attention of this meeting to this declaration in LIM 2. At this point, can I ask the delegation of the European Community how many of their member states are participating in this session and for any other information they want to announce? European Community, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have a lot to add to what you've already said. Essentially, you have in LIM document number one, or rather two, a summary of the division of competence on the agenda items to be discussed in the Commission this week, where essentially we have identified agenda item by agenda item where competence lies. And this essentially can be summarised as either member states competence, community competence, or mixed competence. For specific agenda items, notably the adoption of standards and related texts, we have gone into quite some detail for the individual standards where this competence lies. And if any members have any questions, we'd be happy to clarify. In relation to the number of member states present, I can confirm that as of 10 o'clock this morning, 24 member states of the EC had registered their attendance at the Commission, bearing in mind that there are 27 member states in total in the European Communities. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, European Community, and we shall take note of the distribution of competencies as provided in LIM 2 and as we go down the agenda items. Can I, at this juncture, invite the Secretary for any housekeeping announcements? Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we tackle formally the first agenda item, I'd like to make some housekeeping announcements. First of all, this week's meetings of the Commission will be audio recorded with a view to, at a later stage, providing the audio recorded file on the Codex website so that members and observers who could not participate in this particular session can at least listen to what was debated and how seriously you discussed the matter. And that audio recording is not only serving to the purpose of increased transparency of the Codex system as a whole, but can be used for the training and information activity regarding Codex. Because of the very delicate nature of sound system being used in the plenary hall, we would kindly ask the delegates, observers, and all other participants to kindly turn off your mobile phone while you are in the plenary hall. Secondly, the voting system is present in this plenary hall, which allows you to cast your vote electronically. And the same voting system will be used to determine the presence of a quorum, which may come up as early as we touch upon the agenda item number 4. The detailed instruction on how to use this electronic voting system is provided in document CAC/30INF/10. So the Secretariat kindly asks the delegates to have a look at this document and familiarize themselves with the system. Thirdly, as already announced by the chairperson, there will be a formal cocktail tonight hosted by the Assistant Director General of FAO, Mr. Sumpsi, which will start 5:45 p.m. on the 8th floor of Building B. 8th floor of Building B. And all delegates and observers are invited to this meeting. And again, if you send us SMS messages, it might be heard, not only physically, but also that might interfere with some systems, so I kindly ask you to turn off your mobile phone again. Next, for the lunch facilities, you can have a choice between different options. The main cafeteria of FAO is placed on the 8th floor, the same place where the cocktail will be taking place this evening. It is located on the 8th floor of Building B. You can also have lighter meals in the Bar Blue, which is located on the 8th floor of Building C, as well as in Polish Bar on the ground level of Building A, or Casa Bar, which is located on the ground floor of Building D. So you have a choice between these possibilities. Those delegates coming here with the support of Codex Trust Fund may wish to contact a representative of WHO, who may arrive later in this afternoon with the daily subsistence allowance or per diem to be paid to those delegates, and the WHO representative will be available probably after 17 hours today in the Caribbean Lounge, which is located this side of the plenary hall. So this is an announcement only to those delegates coming here with the support of the Codex Trust Fund. Those delegations wishing to make available to the Commission any written statements or comments in the form of conference room documents are kindly requested to contact one of the Codex Secretariat staff members so that we can be sure about the intent of such communication and to give such written statement a most appropriate form before being placed on the document desk. Finally, Mr. Chairman, in the library of FAO, which is located on the ground floor of this building, you will see a small exhibition tracing back the history of Codex Alimentarius and international standard setting in the area of food. And in the same library, you will have a small space where Internet Cafe is at your disposal. and close to this library space, you will have the atrium where a number of stands have been set up by FAO and WHO to provide in-depth information on the activities and any other information material. So delegations are kindly invited to stop by at the atrium or library and look at those exhibitions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, for those very useful announcements. And I wish now to invite the Commission to start looking at our agenda items. And I'll start with agenda item 1, that's the adoption of the agenda and the arrangements for the session. And I wish to invite the Secretary to introduce the agenda item, please. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The relevant document is Adinom 07/30/1, provisional agenda for the 30th session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. 21 agenda items are listed in 7 blocks. And these agenda items are ordered in a way that the Commission can hold its or conduct its business in the most efficient manner. And this is the same format as that which was followed by the Commission in the past few years. These agenda items will be discussed in this order, with the exception of agenda item 17 and agenda item 18. Because of the requirements set out by the procedural manual, the item 17 will be discussed immediately after item 3, reports of FAO, WHO regional coordinating committees. As to agenda item 18, the elections of the chairperson, vice chairpersons, and finally the members of the executive committee elected on a geographic basis will take place in a time sequence, starting with the opening of nomination period at 13 hours this afternoon, and it will take place every day. According to Rule 7.5 of the Rules of Procedure of the Commission, any member of the Commission and the Director General of FAO and WHO may, after the dispatch of the provisional agenda, propose the inclusion of specific items in the agenda with respect to matters of an urgent nature. So far, we have not received such requests. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, the Commission may wish to adopt the provisional agenda as the agenda for the session. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, and I wish to ask if there are any objections from the Commission as to why we shouldn't adopt this agenda item. Switzerland, please, are you objecting?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, we are not at all objecting, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, under this agenda item, we wanted to request the permission of the Commission to hold an intercession working group. Mr. Chairman, under Agenda Item 13, matters arising from the reports of the Commission, Codex Committees and Task Forces, and I wish to refer to documents Ali Gnome 07/30/9D and Add 1. The Commission will decide on the action to take following the revision of the WHO guidelines for drinking water quality. Mr. Chairman, Switzerland is the host country of the Codex Committee on Natural Mineral Waters, which is currently adjourned sine die. It is in this capacity that Switzerland would like to organize an intercession ad hoc working group open to all interested Codex members and observers, whose mandate will be to review the comments submitted in response to the CL 2006/13 regarding the proposed amendment to the Codex Standard on Natural Mineral Waters. Mr. Chairman, we hope that the outcome of this ad hoc intercession working group will facilitate the examination of this agenda item by the Commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Switzerland. Colombia, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. No estamos en desacuerdo del programa, simplemente no sabemos si por cuestión de procedimiento en dónde incluir una cuestión, un asunto para que se trate en el punto 21, si es el momento ahora o posteriormente.
Thank you, Colombia. I hope you really meant under item 20, other business. And we can listen to the proposal, and if the Commission will so agree, we shall discuss that proposal under agenda item 20, and of course, depending on whether we shall have enough time. But before we listen to the proposal from Colombia, can I ask the Commission if we generally support the proposal from Switzerland that we form an intra-session working group which will review the comments received under agenda item 13, that is matters of action by the Commission, and in particular revision of the WHO guidelines for drinking water. And this working group can meet on Tuesday, that's tomorrow, during lunch time. Of course, we shall announce the venue, and I should also caution that that intra-working group will be held in English, and we might not have the interpretation facilities. So, I have the support of this Commission to establish that intra-session working group? Thank you very much. Then we shall establish that intra-session working group under the convenership of Switzerland, and it's open to all members of the Commission, but in particular to those members who submitted comments under this agenda item. Thank you very much. Colombia, can we listen to you now with your proposal, please?
Gracias, señor presidente. La propuesta concreta tiene que ver con lo siguiente. Colombia reconoce el papel del Fondo Fiduciario y las contribuciones de los países donantes para que se logre una asistencia mayor a estas reuniones, no solamente de la comisión, sino de los comités. Sin embargo, como decía el director general de la FAO, no solamente debemos asistir, sino estar informados. Y para que podamos estar informados debidamente, desde hace varias sesiones, no tanto de la comisión, sino especialmente del Comité de Principios Generales, se ha buscado que la información llegue oportuna y debidamente. ¿Para qué? Para que los países gocen de una simetría de información. Reiteradamente se ha buscado un mecanismo para que las versiones en los idiomas oficiales lleguen oportunamente para que los países tengan la oportunidad de hacer los comentarios. Sin embargo, creemos, no solamente Colombia, sino muchos países, de que no se está logrando ese propósito. Las imprecisiones, reconociendo los esfuerzos de la Secretaría y algunos países, son numerosas en cuanto a algunas versiones en idiomas diferentes al inglés. La propuesta es de que concreta que se busque un mecanismo que concrete que los documentos lleguen en las versiones de los idiomas oficiales y que no se libere ningún documento en un idioma especial, sino en los tres idiomas oficiales al mismo tiempo. Gracias, señor presidente.